Well, what do you do when you're running late for church? And you're the speaker and you forget your PowerPoint? I got it. I went home and I got it. Praise the Lord. Now we just hope it works, right? Wow. Thank you. I just got in the last part of that song and I wish I'd been here right from the start. But wow, how beautiful. King of my life. And that's what I'm going to preach about this morning. Because I want Jesus to be king of my life. I hope it's true for you. Somebody's king in your life. Who is it? What is it? It's my prayer this morning that we will be so moved by the word of God. And that we will be inspired by the Spirit of God to fall before Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, you can turn to Psalm 24 if you want. The passages will be on the screen, but if you prefer reading in the Bible or if that's too small for you, please feel free. Psalm chapter 24. We need to pray. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just come to you today in all humility of heart because you are the great sovereign Lord of the universe, the King of Kings. Oh God, and we are but clay. We're reminded of our weaknesses and our frailties and our forgetfulness so often, Lord, but thank you. We can stand here today and we can trust you that you will perform your work in our lives. So we open our hearts to your word and to your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is the King of Glory? Well, that's a question asked by the psalmist in Psalm chapter 24, verse 8. And it's my goal to answer that question today with perhaps a little more detail. You could probably already know Jesus is the King of Glory. Yes, he is. But there's a lot more in this chapter that we're going to learn about. I wonder today if you have a need to belong, to have an identity that connects you with someone better than yourself, to have a sense of being on the winning team, to know that you have a future without failure, without uncertainty, without COVID-19, without any sickness or pain or sorrow or death. Do you feel that need today? Does anybody feel any of those needs today? Well, this message is for me as much as it is for you because I do feel that need. And this is a message of hope that began early in my own life, my need to identify with someone better than myself. And a few of you here grew up with me and you knew a little bit about me. But my journey with Christ began by admitting my own pride and failures and finding forgiveness and hope in Christ. Are you ready to begin your journey? Have you begun your journey? If you haven't, I hope today will be the day. Thankfully, the Lord brought a wonderful woman into my life. And my wife, Marcia, is here this morning, and we actually met each other right here in this church in junior high school. Oh yeah, junior high youth group, long time ago. And then it Later on, we were married in 1975. So, hey, any of you here in junior high here today? Any junior hires? Oh, there's one back there. A few, yeah? Watch out. Because, not too long after came three children, Jeremiah, Rachel, and Mark. And then there's more. But it's not about me today. But this message is close to me because together with my family, we lived and proclaimed this message, although imperfectly. Anybody here doing it perfectly? We're all in the same boat, aren't we? Who is the King of Glory? Could I say, number one, that from this passage, I believe it's clear that the King of Glory is the Creator. Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. If we go to Colossians chapter 1, this talks about the Lord being the Creator, but Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the great I Am. Colossians 1, 16, 17 clarifies a little bit here. For by him, Jesus Christ, that is, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Can I say that again? All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. You got your notes? All right, get ready, because there's quite a few blanks to fill in this morning. Through whom and for whom were you created? Can anybody answer that question? Who? The Lord Jesus. Yeah. Until you get a sense of identification with your Creator, you'll be running in circles without a sense of any real purpose. I've been there. How about you? We were all created with a vacuum that can only be filled with Him. You got a longing in your heart today that's not filled? Go to Jesus. Need a sense of direction? He's got one for you. Go to Jesus. Who is the King of Glory? Who is the King of Glory? Point number one. Jesus who? Number one. The what? Did you fill that in? Starts with capital C. Creator. Number two. Who is the King of Glory? He is the one, and you can, there we go. He is the one by whom we can stand righteous before a holy God. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? So, what is the hill of the Lord? I believe that to the Israelites, they understood this to be the Mount Zion, where the tabernacle and the temple were built. The presence of God came personally. But you know, it represents wherever God is. Today, he's in heaven. He's everywhere. But who can stand in his presence? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, that is, has never treated anyone or anything as more important than God. You feeling a little bit inadequate? Anybody here this morning with clean heart, pure heart, and clean hands that has never, ever lifted his soul to an idol? Is there anybody? No. How? How can we come to know God and to be with him? Someone who's never sworn deceitfully. Here's the promise. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That is the one who has faith in Christ. He is the only way. He is the only one by whom we can stand righteous before a holy God. And you look around you and you'll see a lot of people with that desire in their heart to please God in some way, to find favor with God, to gain points with God. And a lot of people doing it the wrong way. I've been there. We lived for 35 years in Africa, and we were surrounded most of the time. We were living with Muslim people, which, by the way, most Muslims are very peace-loving, and we can live side by side. And we never felt in danger at all by any of the local population. They are nice people. But they think the way to God is by good works, reciting a creed, helping the poor, praying 5 times a day, fasting, which incidentally, we are in the middle of Ramadan right now. Does anybody know what Ramadan is? Ramadan is the holy month in Islam, and they require you going without food or water from sunrise to sunset for 30 days. If you do that, you think you've accomplished something good. And maybe, just maybe, they think they'll find points with God. And the fifth pillar of Islam is making a pilgrimage at least once in a lifetime, if at all possible, to Mecca. But you ask a Muslim, are you sure? Are you sure that you found favor with Allah, with your God? Well, the answer would be, inshallah. Inshallah. You know what that means? If Allah wills. And anytime you hear a Muslim say, inshallah, there's a lot of uncertainty behind that phrase. Because they use it so frequently. Like, I mean, so see you tomorrow, inshallah. You know, I'm going to take you up on that promise, inshallah. And oftentimes there is nothing. No Muslim is ever sure of his salvation because, you know, none of us can be good enough. But through Christ, praise God. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God. Can move on. There it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Remember back there in Psalm 24, verse 5? He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Here it is. Who has blessed us, those who belong to Christ, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as in here are some of those blessings. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Remember that. If you belong to Christ today, it's not because you somehow generated up enough willpower to claim that you are a son of God. No. God chose you. Now you can look back on it. You can walk through the door. On this side of the door, it says, whosoever will may come. On the other side of the door, you look as you have come to Christ, chosen in him from the foundation of the world. Chosen in him For what purpose? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's God's purpose for you if you belong to Christ. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Anybody know what that means, accepted in the beloved? Who is the beloved? Would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together, united in a perfect, loving bond eternally. And Christ has made us accepted in the beloved. We are part, we are in union with the Trinity. In him we have redemption through his blood. Wow. Redemption, being bought back from the house of slavery. If you do not belong to Christ today, you are a slave. You're a slave to yourself. You're a slave to sin. But Jesus gave his life, redemption through his blood that he shed on the cross, to buy us out of the house of slavery, and he set us free, to give us freedom to love God and to serve God and to be fulfilled in all that he created us to be. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wow. Next, please. Here it is. You need to write fast because there's about five blanks here. By faith in Christ, you are what? Blameless. You are what? Adopted. Accepted in who? The beloved. You are what? And? Wow. What else do we need? What else do we need, honestly? Who is the King of Glory? Number one, he's what? Creator. Number two, he's what? We can say it together. The one by whom we can stand righteous before a holy God. Yes. Number three, who is the King of Glory? Right from the passage. I mean, this is direct answer. He is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. That's not just any Lord, small L, small O, small R, small D. There's a lot of them around. This is capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the great I Am, the relational God who wants a relationship with you. Just as much as you long for a relationship with someone to be close to, and you like to talk together, you like to be together. And if you do that in church, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. He is the Lord, mighty in battle, and the Lord of hosts. Psalm 24, verses 8 and 10. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. No, that's on the board here. I wasn't saying her name. Or do you pronounce that Selah? Yeah, you know what that means? It means stop and think a little bit. Will you stop and think about what we just read? The Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts. Do you know that Jesus is spoken of many times in Scripture as the Lord of hosts? Who are these hosts? Well, they are like an army arrayed and ready for battle. The Lord of hosts. So he's got a whole army of angels that are fighting with him. as if he needs anybody. But you know what? He sends his angels as ministers to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus. If you believe and belong to the Lord Jesus, you know what? You've got an angel. That's true. You do. That's not some mystical thing that people talk about. That's true. And he's sending his angels to help you, to help you. Colossians 2, 12 to 15. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Lord in battle. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Can we talk a little bit about that? It's probably simpler for me to just read a footnote about that handwriting of ordinances and here in John MacArthur's study Bible. If I can read the small print. The Greek word translated handwriting referred to the handwritten certificate of debt by which a debtor, that is someone that you owe money to or owe something to, acknowledged his indebtedness. All people owe God an unpayable debt for violating his law and are thus under sentence of death. Paul graphically compares God's forgiveness of believers' sins to wiping ink off of parchment. Through Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, God has totally erased our certificate of indebtedness and made our forgiveness complete. There's a list somewhere, and I believe it's the Lord that has that list. It begins with him, because he knows. He knows our hearts. There's a list of every wrong deed that you have ever committed. Would you like to see that list? But you know what he did with it? Well, Satan's looking for it. Because he knows that you're a sinner, and he's watching you, and he knows. And he's the accuser of the brethren who go, every time you do something wrong, will go to the throne, to God, and say, hey, look at what Pastor Dan just did. Huh? And he calls himself a Christian? No. He's no Christian. And Satan is looking for that list because he wants to use it against us. But there's no list. It's clean. It's like the slate has been erased, nailed to the cross. For all those who believe Jesus died for your sins, to forgive you, to cleanse you, to give you eternal life and to give you purpose and much more. Yeah. So that's that handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, which Satan, the accuser of the brethren, would like to use against us. But he, that is God, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers and all those evil spirits who are working alongside of Satan, fighting for your soul. There's a battle for your soul today, my friend. Who has your soul? Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, where? On the cross, triumphing over them in it by his resurrection. Praise God. Praise God. That's just the beginning. We have yet to see Jesus in his full glory. But it's coming, Revelation 19. Now let's advance into heaven. And now we're at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, where God's wrath has been poured out upon the earth. And you and I, by the Lord's grace, have been raptured to not be here during that terrible time of tribulation. So we are now in heaven, and just imagine that you are observing this. You see heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. You're about to observe the description of Jesus in his full glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, probably from all the battles he has fought for you and I. And his name is called the Word of God. Is there any question now who we're talking about? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And the armies in heaven. Now, you and I will be a part of those armies, because we'll be there in heaven, Old Testament and New Testament saints, along with the angels, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, we're going to follow Jesus as he returns to the earth, and that's a whole other message. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. Would you say that with me, please? What's the name written? King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lord mighty in battle. He is the Lord of hosts. Can we look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11? A little more detail about this host of angels that are fighting for us, that are ministers of righteousness for God and for the Lord Jesus. And then I looked. Yeah, so you're in heaven, along with the Apostle John here as he envisions this, and he looked, and he heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was how many? 10,000 times 10,000. All right, I got my paper out and I wrote that out. All right, 10,000 is how many zeros? 4. Times 10,000, how many zeros? 8. All right, okay, all right, take 1 + 8 zeros, and how many is that? Come on, you mathematicians. How many? 100 million. We're partway there, folks. Plus thousands of thousands. Well, if you take 10,000 and multiply it times thousands of thousands, how many you got? We can't count them. We can't count them. Innumerable myriads. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ with his host of angels are on your side? Is there anything that can defeat us if we stand with Christ? Absolutely not. Next, please. By Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. Okay, you have to write fast again. The battle was won against Satan, your accuser, and all the forces of evil that threaten your well-being. Can you remember that tonight when you lay on your pillow and you begin to have nightmares, you begin to have bad thoughts about yourself or about a situation? Can you remember that? The next time you're in a situation where you really feel down. I'm just going to ask you a question today, and you don't have to raise your hand or give me a verbal response, but are you living in victory today? You know? Victory over that habit that's just bugging you and bugging people around you, or maybe it's people who don't even know about it. Yeah, I was a slave. I was a slave one time. I know what it's like. I'm asking you today, are you living in victory? And if you are not living in victory, whose fault is that? With Jesus on your side. Will you listen to me? Through faith, as you fall on your knees before him in humility and just admission of your need, and you find your identity with Christ, who died, who is dead to sin, and alive unto God. And you can gather believers around you, your friends and your family that know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray together and persevere together for victory. You can have victory. Did you hear me? I don't care what it is in your life. You can have victory. I mean complete victory. It's not partial victory. It's complete victory. Can we conclude this message today? Who is the King of Glory? All right, help me. He is number one. Creator. He is number two, the one by whom we can stand before God, what? Righteous. Three, he is, who is the King of Glory? Yeah, mighty in battle, Lord of hosts. Yeah. There's one more thing here. Who is the King of Glory? Can I say and agree with David as he writes this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that he is the one for whom the gates must open? Psalm 24, verses 7 and 9 are both the same verse. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. I want you to understand what I understand this to mean. I support it by scripture, and I believe. I want you to imagine for a moment the scene of victorious soldiers returning home from battle with great fanfare and celebration. We read about it, we see it on TV sometimes. Perhaps something a little bit closer, and we can go show the next picture, please. How about the New England Patriots celebrating a Super Bowl? Sorry if you're not a Patriot fan. That's okay. Put your own team up there. It's okay. All right, and here's a parade to welcome these victorious athletes who have disciplined themselves and fought and struggled and come out victoriously. So here we see them parading through the Boston streets in 2019, February, after the great Super Bowl win against, who was it? Some of you know. There were people as far as I could see along the 2-mile parade route of duck boats. Hey, you see the duck boats? You go back one, please. There's all those duck boats. Which started late Tuesday morning on Boylston Street. Anybody ever been there in Boston? Yeah. Was anybody at that parade? There were a lot of people there. And rolled past the massive crowds on the walks all the way to City Hall Plaza. City officials estimate 1.5 million people attended this rally. Place yourself there if you weren't there. Can you hear these people chanting and clapping and praising the Patriots? And we want number 7. Well, that's just a little bit of what I believe the spirit of which happened when Christ rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven and he was received into glory and he was crowned King of Kings and he was seated at the right hand of God the Father. There was no way the gates of heaven could remain closed. Lift up your heads, all you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Wow. Can you hear the millions, those myriads of angels praising Jesus for having won the victory against hell and against sin and against Satan for you and I? Luke 24, verse 26. Ought not Christ, Jesus was talking here on the road to Emmaus, and he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He had to suffer first, did he not? But it didn't end there. Praise God. He entered into his glory. Hebrews 2, verse 9 and 10. But we see Jesus. Do you see Jesus today? Would you imagine in your mind's eye, would you please look at Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with what? Glory and honor. Have you crowned him with glory and honor in your life? You can do that today. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That's for you and I too. For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect in full glory through sufferings. But he had to suffer first in bringing many sons to glory. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and you and I are included in that number. If indeed we belong to Christ, we have put our faith and trust in him today. When Jesus entered into glory through the gates of heaven that could not remain closed, and all the myriads of angels were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. He has won the victory. You know, if it was just for one person that was saved, it says, Luke 15, verse 10, says that, likewise I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Imagine the joy that was celebrated that day as Jesus returned to glory and the angels were thinking of all the souls that he would be bringing to glory because of his death on the cross and his resurrection for you and I. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Would you open your heart? I trust you have done that already. Will you open your heart to his word? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Is the word of Christ dwelling in your heart today? I hope so. But you know what? It's not just Sunday morning when you can put God's word in your heart. You know what? We need to be doing this every day. We need to start every day. We need to reflect and meditate on his word all the time, day and night. We sure do. Amen. Have you opened your heart to his word? And secondly, will you open your heart to receive Jesus as your eternal Savior and King? If you've never done this before, today you could do that. I'm asking you in the quietness of this moment right now that you can open your heart to this Jesus who wants to be your King. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but unless you make him King in your life, he stands away from you. And you're not part of being accepted in the Beloved and all the blessings that are ours in Christ. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Will you receive him today? If you have never done that before, I'm asking you, please, please, in the quietness of your heart. And if you'd like to pray with myself or one of the deacons, the elders afterward, please come. Please come and let us know. Revelation 3:20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Can you appreciate fellowshipping with Jesus and listening and being at his feet to hear his word, to be encouraged in him, to be built up in him, to go out and face the world that we live in? And verse 21, we don't usually read 21 with verse 20, but here, look, listen to this. To him who overcomes... Yeah. How do we overcome? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, John says. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Is Jesus King? He has a throne. And he's inviting you and I to sit with him on his throne in victory. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne when he was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords.